You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. This is an excellent podcast episode with a dog owner who needs to hear the truth. And sometimes it's the truth you don't want to hear. And I'm sure you guys, especially if you have a reactive dog, can relate to that. And the dog is, well, you'll hear. It's a good one. As always, guys, I wouldn't post it if it, I didn't think it was something new and something fresh, something you couldn't learn something from. Going on tour this summer and fall, I'm super excited. We're doing a facility, we're doing a seminar at my facility at the Upstate Canine Academy. We're also coming to England. We're also going to Australia and New Zealand. Tickets to see me live and work with me and learn more about dogs and cut it up and hang out and talk dogs and just be part of the No Bad Dog Army is in the description below. Can't wait to see you guys, meet you guys, enjoy the podcast.
So I have a 5-ish year old 90-pound American bully named Graham. I rescued him March of 2023, and I volunteer for the rescue. And so I kind of knew right away that he had exhibited some behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. The medical coordinator kind of filled me in. He had growled at his previous foster's parents. He had some medical issues, but he got along really well with my resident dogs at the time. I had a 15-year-old Amstaff and a 4-year-old American bully, 55-pound American bully, and got along really well. I knew he had some apprehension with, I guess he was people selective. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. I've had bully breeds for over 20 years, so I kind of had an idea of what I was working with. It wasn't an issue for me. But I think as time went on, I don't know if it was he just became more protective, but he started exhibiting stronger aggression. So like I said, I rescued him in March. In August of 2023, he bit my husband at the front door as he was trying to take him out for his last walk. Had a pretty good puncture wound. He didn't go to the hospital, but he had a pretty good sized puncture wound.
And that was around, right, it sounds like, if my memory is correct, that's right when you got him, around there?
It was about 5 months after we got him.
Okay.
So in between the time I got him till the time he bit my husband, I did consult with the rescue's trainer to kind of discuss, you know, just some of the behavioral issues that we were having. She had us work with place, some commands, hand feeding, stuff like that, like really basic stuff. And some of it did help. But I think I wasn't present. I was in another room when Graham had bit my husband, Damien. But I think he was resource guarding the door because the other dogs were there and Damien was trying to take one dog at a time. And I think just his excitement, Graham can be very intense. He just bit Damien. So when I talked to the rescue about it, they recommended a behaviorist. And mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about a behaviorist before. So when I took him,
Now you do, right?
So, yeah, she spent the hour tossing treats to Graham and yep. sending me home with a prescription of Zoloft.
Yep.
She's very nice, mm-hmm. but I obviously didn't, it didn't sit well with me. So that's when I started really looking into dog training, specifically for like aggression and stuff like that. And that's when I came across your stuff. And I literally went down a deep rabbit hole of all of your online courses, all of your videos, all of your tutorials, everything. Like I went all of it, and all of your podcasts, all the trainers, everything. I was head deep in behavior modification training. And I have to say thank you. It's helped a great deal. Awesome. We have made great strides. And the reason why I decided to schedule this appointment is because I feel like I'm stuck. I don't know if there's more that I can do to help Graham improve, or if this is just now we're just maintaining. I have looked into doing your transformation program, or even, I just don't know if I'm like beyond my training capability at this point.
Okay. So what do you, I know that happened a couple of years ago. What are you dealing with now? What's the stick right now with you and Graham?
Yes. So he does amazingly well on his walks. Like, he doesn't pull loose leash walks. His training is great. His commands are great. He's just very people selective. So when we walk, I can usually tell when he fixates a lot. So I call it, he locks and loads. So he fixates, mm-hmm. He has those side, like his hair stands up, he gets very tense. And when that happens, if I don't catch it prior to that happening, he'll lunge at people and bark and kind of lose his mind. As long as I can engaging his grade, he will not attend to remember that I'm.
And you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you're moving or not.
No. I wonder if it's my Wi-Fi. But if I don't, like, if a dog's coming around a corner and I don't catch him in time, he loses his mind. So I don't know if.
So is it only the surprise around the corner reaction?
It's any time that I don't catch it. It's any time I'm not catching it prior to him, like,
yeah,
you know,
getting to noticing. That. Yeah. So what do you? So you can successfully, if you catch him, you can successfully dismantle him, and he's fine.
Yes.
Okay,
but there are also certain times, for instance, my father-in-law used to watch the dogs when we first got Graham. And the reason why he stopped watching the dogs was because Graham started growling at Dad. We've worked really hard to try and get Graham to feel comfortable with Dad. I don't know if it's just something happened and he doesn't like Dad, but whenever Dad's over, we have him on a leash. We've walked with Dad. Dad can ride in the car with us with Graham, any of the above, and he's fine. But the other day, or a couple weeks ago for Father's Day weekend, he lunged at Dad. No reason. I didn't see any indication from Graham. We had just walked three blocks with Dad, and Dad was standing off to the side, and Graham just saw him and just lunged. And luckily, you know, I caught him in time. But Dad, that's been the hardest thing for us to try and get a hold of, is trying to figure out how to best deal with that.
Deal with lunging at Dad?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is outside of, so for me, my initial reaction to it is he just may not like Dad, and there's not much you can ever do about that. Right. Some dogs who, especially these big American bully, they could be edgy, they could be super suspicious, they could be a couple owner, single dog owner type dog. Any dog breed, but I'm just, in my experience with the bully breeds, when they get to this point, for whatever reason, genetics, history, who knows. But here's from a dog training standpoint, it's kind of trying to figure out, is the juice worth the squeeze of, okay, we have a dog that may not like dad, okay? So it's right. Like, okay, well, dad, it'd be nice if dad could come over and watch the dog and walk the dog while we're gone. I agree. That would be amazing. I deal with that on a regular basis here in my household as I travel and we scramble to get somebody to cover for the dogs. And anyway, but there's, so I get the convenience of that, but then there's this reality of, well, Graham, what's the ROI here? Is Graham doesn't like dad. We don't want dad to get hurt, obviously. We don't want anybody to get hurt. And so it's like, what's the risk over reward here? Is the risk is dad gets bit. The reward is dad can watch Graham while we're gone. And you're still going to be nervous. He's still going to be nervous. And Graham still probably will be iffy with dad. So that's kind of like the equation here is if Graham is showing signs of, I don't like dad, I'm uncomfortable with dad, and has a bite history, my suggestion is to not try to matchmake that. I don't think I don't think it's going to work. I think that you're going to inevitably deal with Graham just not liking dad because he's made that pretty clear. That's not 100%. I don't know for sure, but the next step and the next question and the split and the fork in the road here is, okay, well, what if Graham is really suspicious of new people, and once you're in, and you're never going to get out. That could be a possibility. I don't know for sure, but
he is like that. Like, so I have a dog walker. I have two dog walkers that walk him. My first dog walker, I mean, she's 4 foot nothing. She does amazing with him. He loves her to pieces. My second dog walker, because I wanted a backup in case something happened to my first one. It took her a hot minute. Same thing. Graham was very suspicious of her. I think Graham is just initially just very suspicious of people. Now he loves her. It's one of those I feel like you almost have to prove yourself to him. Like, mm-hmm. And once you're in and he's amazing. He's the best dog, but it's just very few people that he feels comfortable around. And it's just, he will literally bark and lunge at everybody unless we have him under, on a leash, under control and, doing commands. But if he's not in a sit stay or in a down, he's not being the best version of himself.
Yeah. So how long has he known known dad?
From the moment we got him. Okay. Dad started coming over from day one.
See, that would be like, my job is to be like the investigator here. What makes sense? Sure. What doesn't make sense? So that wouldn't make sense because two things is Graham has known dad much longer than the two dog walkers he now loves. The two dog walkers are female and dad is dad. So I would say that, and again, I want that to work. I would hope that that would work because it would make everyone's life easier. I'm just being realistic that if dad's known Graham 10 times longer, but still has issues, I would say that that's probably not the case. It's probably not like, oh, well, he just needs to warm up. He's had double the amount of time to warm up to dad and he won't versus the dog walkers. So I would just say it could be, and same thing with your husband. Your husband got bit too. So he's had an issue with males, it seems like. That's just what, from the context you've told me from the last 15 minutes, that's what I've gotten. So just to keep that in mind, just to be mindful of that if it was one of those, well, he just needs time to warm up and then once he warms up, he's going to love you like you're your best friend. It's like, well, I think if that was the case, it would have already happened with dad. That, I mean, all of the ingredients for that actually happening are there and have been implemented, and it still isn't there. So I would just say it's probably not going to happen. Again, there are ways of doing it, because there's two different things here. Is if he is the type of dog that, I don't know. To me, it just seems like, why don't you tell me is the benefit of having Graham good with dad because you want to, or because you need to?
No, it's because we want to. I mean, obviously we want dad coming over and hanging out and all that stuff. We know that Graham's too much of a dog for dad to walk, so that's not even a thought in our minds. But just to come over and hang out, it's just hard. We have a summer property at the Jersey Shore, and that's when the last time dad came and stayed with us. It's a small house. We had Graham on a leash the whole time inside the house. And he was doing okay. And then we just went out for a walk. I'm always the one to handle Graham out of my husband and I. I do all the training and I handle Graham really well. My husband had my other dog, and we just stopped at the park a few blocks down. Dogs are sniffing around, and then all of a sudden Graham sees dad and just lunges at him. Didn't even just stare at him. Like, he didn't fixate. He just saw him and lunged. And, it's a good thing I had Graham, but, you know, so it's just confusing, because we were just literally walking fine, the three of us, my two dogs, and then we stopped, and then it was, you know, Graham fine.
Yeah. So, okay. So from that, I would just say, going back to what you were saying about the walking thing, like, that's not going to happen, even if Graham liked dad or was more comfortable with dad. But then I heard you say, like, well, it would be nice also too if like when we have dad over, like, to me personally, it would be more like, again, I'm always looking at risk over reward here. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's more like, could we just put Graham away when dad's over and be done with it? Because that would make the situation 100% successful. Do you have to? No. But to me, it would be, let's say I have, for an example, here's what I'm thinking is, let's say I have like my niece is over, and they're terrified of dogs, terrified. Right. And I have a huge dog. He's 150 pounds. He's massive. So I could say, hey guys, I'm going to get him out, and I'm going to have him on leash, and he's going to be fine, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what's the point here? It's like, I get him out, and then the girls are freaking out, and they're screaming, and they're like, oh my God, I'm terrified. He's so big. He's so scary. I want to, and my dog's not doing anything, but it's like, what's to prove here? So, like, and I have to walk dog owners through this equation to say, well, it'd be really convenient if just Graham didn't, he doesn't have to like dad. He doesn't have to be pet by dad, whatever. I just don't want him to lunge at dad. I think that you could do that. But the problem is the risk of keeping Graham around dad is that he lunges and bites dad. And it's like, what is the point? You know, it's like, there's the risk over reward here is not worth it. Like, there's a bad investment, you know what I mean? So to me, like, personally, if you have really good control over Graham and you feel comfortable and confident, and we can talk about the reactivity after, because that's a kind of a separate thing, right? But to me, it's like, when we have dad over, it'd be like if my dog didn't like my dad, I wouldn't could I have them coexist? I'm 100,000% bet my life on it, 100%. But would I have to manage it the entire time just to make sure things don't happen? Absolutely.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then it's like, okay, dad, come over. I'd love to see you. I'd love to hang out, spend time with you. And he comes over, and the entire time you're eagle-eyeing your dog to make sure he doesn't bite your dad. It's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So that's just my, that's my dog, dog owner's approach. And that's also my dog trainer's approach of, I could absolutely walk you through the process in which what you should do when dad's over. It's just, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze because at the end of the day, dad's not going to handle Graham. And we already right. know that Graham isn't going to all of a sudden turn a switch and go cuddle in dad's lap. And even if he did, dad wouldn't like it because he's like, I don't know. So it's like, you get to this yeah. point where you're like, personally, I would just say he's too big of a dog. To, you know, it's not like a shih tzu. Well, he might bite you, dad, but you'll be all right. It's like, no, you know, he's, you know, he's a big dog. And so for me, personally, again, if this was my own house with my trained dogs and me as a seasoned veteran of a trainer with tons of experience, I still would say, hey, my dog doesn't like you, dad, and I'm going to put him away when you come over. Not risking it.
Right. And that's kind of what I've thought, especially after listening to a lot of your, all of your podcasts and all of that stuff. But I just, and we do, we are able to, and that's kind of what we did at the shore. Like I said, we have a small house. We did kind of a crate and rotate sort of thing mm-hmm. at times when I wanted dad to just move freely and not stress because Graham was on the leash and I was, you know, trying to manage Graham. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see, like, with as far as dad went, if there was more that I could be doing to try, because I, you know, it just, my husband and my father-in-law, they just, my father-in-law is now scared, which I feel terrible about. And I think my husband just really wants it to work out. And I think I've kind of reiterated to him, I just don't know if it's going to be possible. Yeah. That it's just a better bet to just let's put Graham away, like you said. And because I know how stressed out Graham is, like he really stresses out around dad.
Yeah. Because he doesn't, it sounds so like he doesn't want to make a mistake. He's like, I don't want to, like, he's conflicted. Like, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's odd because it was even the ringtone of dad's phone. So that would, it would set Graham off. He would literally lose his mind. So it was wow. weird. I don't know what happened when dad was watching Graham or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he really could just be, he just has zero desire for dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. I think that and again, this is just, I mean, it's why you hired me. It's like, honestly, yeah. like the quicker you are okay with that realization, the quicker you're going to be happier and your dog's going to be happier. Your dad's going to be happier. I totally understand and have tons of empathy towards the idea of somebody not understanding dog behavior and how it all works to just say, hey, just hire a trainer to make this work. It's like, that makes sense. Like, honestly, that makes sense. Like, it does. Like, it doesn't sound silly. It's like, no, like, that's, you know, it's like your car's broken, hire a mechanic, right? Like, your computer's not working, have a tech guy fix. So it makes total sense to say, like, fix it. But the, once you start really getting to the realities of it and getting down to the granule pieces, the risk, like, the juice is not worth the squeeze here. It's like, because I always tell people, okay, here's what you're going to do when dad comes over. Graham's going to be in a place. He's going to be in a down. He's going to be in a stay. You're going to have him on leash. You're going to make sure your dad doesn't look at him. You're going to make sure dad doesn't walk by him. No eye contact. No, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we did it. But it's like, you need a glass of wine after your dad leaves because it was like, do you know what I mean? It's like, holy crap, that was so much work. Or, you know, or bring Graham for a nice walk before dad comes over, get all of the things out and his body and his mind, put him in the crate with a bone when dad comes over, and everybody wins. Everybody.
Yeah.
Because it even sounds like you said, like that's even a bigger incentive for you, for Graham to be like, I don't, like you said, who knows what happened when dad was over. Dad could have, who knows, dropped a book on the floor, yelled at a football game. Like, who knows what the heck happened?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. The point is now is just like, this is where we're at. It's different. And it's a different circumstances if you said, hey, he's acting like this to my husband. Then it goes into serious behavior mod, serious management, serious obedience, muzzles, like all the things to try to make it work. But if it's something that doesn't need to happen, then the better option is to do the better option or the easier option here. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I kind of figured. Okay, so then about the other stuff, the aggression, is there a better way for me to be able to prevent him from lunging or freaking out? I mean, he's done it with people that we know. If I'm stopping to talk to people or whatever, or like, let's just say we're at the shore, like we live in Pennsylvania. There's pretty rural, so we don't come across a lot of people or dogs, but when we're at the shore, it's like nonstop people, nonstop dogs. Mm-hmm. The behaviorist, when we were seeing her, she was, you know, like, just walk him late at night, early in the morning. But I don't want to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be able to work with Graham under like normal circumstances. I don't want to be walking him at 3 a.m. So, and we do really well. Like I said, it's just if I don't catch it in time. Is this something that I can work on better? Is this something that could be his just behavior? I've never had any dog who was this reactive. But the funny thing is that if I take him to the vet, he's had 2 TPLO surgeries. He has the most ridiculous allergies. He's had massive roaring ear infections. He's literally had everything. He's been my dumpster fire dog. I've spent countless amounts of money on him. But he's amazing at the vet. Like, he is terrified, and he is a definitely flight dog when he's anywhere outside of his territory, if you will. Dogs can come up to him at the vet. You can do whatever you want to him at the vet, and he's scared crapless, but he's totally fine and everybody loves him. But if we're on walks, if we're in any area that he considers like his home, he's like, I'm a big dog. Yep. You know? I feel like we're managing it well. Like I said, he has a prong collar, so he has the Herm Springer prong collar. It wasn't until I was dragged across the street and tore my labrum and rotator cuff did I realize not all prong collars are the same. Mm-hmm. Seeing some of YouTube videos, I realized Herm Springer was the way to go, and it's made a huge difference. We do have a Dogtra e-collar that we've worked on, but because he's so good at recall, he's great on leash walking, like, I haven't been hugely focused on working with the e-collar, although I think I might have to, because I think due to his all of his ear infections, his hearing's starting to go. So, yeah, I just wanted to see, like, I don't know if his commands just aren't strong enough, because once he gets to the point of fixating, any commands that I say are out the window.
Yep.
As long as it's before he starts to fixate, he'll listen to me, he's engaging, he's great. But once he starts to fixate, I've lost him. And the second part about that, with the prong collar, he's good if I pop the prong collar, like, prior, before he starts loading. The moment he loads, if I pop that collar, he'll lunge in 2 seconds. It's like an activation switch. If I pop it while he's, like, I feel the tension, he will lunge then. It's like, okay, now I've given him the cue to go. Yeah. So, that's where I kind of feel like I'm stuck.
Yep. So the prong collar has become an activator, which can happen. It's basically a conditioned response. So sometimes this happens if you correct the dog without a cue. So instead of saying leave it or focus to counter the dog's potential risk of reactivity, so a lot of people will just, they see a dog, we correct. So we don't really give them an option to do the right thing. So now the correction has become the cue, and the correction is also an unfair correction because they're really getting corrected for looking. And it's like, we actually want you to look and make a better decision. Not the only time that we only correct a dog if they react is if they're pretty serious about hurting another dog and they're pretty consistent with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we would step in and just say, you can't even look. But I really don't think that that's the case here. Did you take my reactivity to neutral course?
I signed up for all of your courses that you had on your website.
Okay, great. The reason why I'm asking is because I talk a lot about the dismantlement. So the dismantlement essentially is as the dog starts to build, you're dismantling it. So like talking somebody that's really angry, upset, mad, anxious out of the state of mind they're in. But basically saying, hey, let's do this. Let's think about this instead, essentially. And it comes with a lot of different exercises, like the inside turn, the drawback, the outside turn, all the things to dismantle the dog, the focus command, the engagement. There's a lot of different things in there that are, you know, it's kind of the secret weapon there. So let's just get context here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Say you're out with him on a walk. Mm-hmm. You see a dog up ahead. I'm assuming he starts to, his ears perk up, he locks up, he goes, hey, there's a dog. Yeah. How do you do this?
So, yes. So his first biggest indication is his hair, standing up. So I will usually, so let's just say we're at the shore, like it's a ton of people, tight spaces, small streets. I usually, if there's space, I'll just walk over to the side, mm-hmm. have him sit. And go to a down and let the other dog in person walk by us. Okay. And as long as he focuses on me. If it's a big enough street, he's usually fine. I can get him to focus on me. I'll tell him to leave it. I don't pop his collar if he's following my command. Like if I say leave it and he looks at me, yes, I reward him and we keep walking. The only time, like I said, if it's a narrow street and the dog's pretty close, or even if it's like we're walking by a yard with a barking dog, which he absolutely hates. He hates any barking dog. I can tell him to leave it. He'll look at me and we're fine. Mm-hmm. It's just, like I said, once he just sees the dog and starts to load and then I pop the collar, if I tell him to leave it and I pop the collar, he lunges.
Okay. Do you do any physical dismantlement? Do you do an inside turn? Do you try to block it? Do you try to block them out at all?
I do. it's hard to do that sometimes on a narrow street, yep. if you know yep. what I'm, if like a narrow space. So I luckily I'm just able to control him. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. he usually comes back to, and becomes engaging pretty quickly. But yeah, if it's, if he starts losing his mind, it's very hard to get him to do any sort of turns or moving or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. Is he food motivated?
He is. Unless he's past that point.
Okay. So here's what I would say is I'll kind of break down like the things that I do and okay, so a couple things is so again I always tell people whenever you want your dog to stop something you need to give them what you want. If you want to tell them what they can't do, you need to tell them what they can do.
Right.
Because obviously they've gotten to this place through instinct. So they're already doing the thing that they want to do. They're like, "Hey, there's a dog. This is what I feel like I need to do." So they have to have a good leave it. And this isn't a question. This is just more of a rhetorical question that if you don't have a good leave it and the dog actually understands it fundamentally and you've worked on it fundamentally, which means we're not applying the leave it out when we see other dogs and that's the leave it to the dog. The leave it is applied and taught at a fundamental level with food, toys, balls, treats inside. The dog knows when you say leave it, they have to move away from what they're doing, right? So they fundamentally mm-hmm. understand the behavior. Then when right. you go out and you use the leave it, the dog understands it. So just flipping a little bit, the behaviorists that you worked with, as you said, with the prong collar, not all behaviorists are created equally. In fact, nobody right. is created equal in any industry. Like you know, no trainer, no behaviorist, but that is the majority of behaviorists is to avoid conflict at all costs because they're not trainers. They don't know how to train a dog. That's not what they do. Their job is to diagnose what's happening. So they get into a room with a dog that has reactivity or aggression. 90% of behaviorists that's why I was like kind of laughing and it kind of sounded like you understood, you started doing your research on behaviorists. I would say in my experience, 90% of the clients that I've worked with deal with. They come in, they don't touch the dog, they throw treats at the dog, they're afraid of the dog typically because they're not practitioners, right? At all. Like they actually are pretty goofy with dogs. They're not like typically naturally like gifted, if you will, with handling the dog. They love dogs. They went to school for a bunch of years to figure out what behaviors are and they're good. They have a good purpose, but their job is to prescribe medication typically and diagnose, not actually handle, train, fix, and modify typically. So that's pretty much the MO. They come in, they throw food on the ground, they give you a prescription and they tell you to just walk at times when you're never going to see dogs. Not realistic for 99% of people. So to that point is when you're going through this process, we actually want to do the opposite. We want to really show the dog how to make better decisions. Hey, there's a dog. So his hackles come up, he starts to get big, bad, and burly. And what you do is couple things is he has to know leave it so you can apply it. So you know, hey, I want you to do this skill set. You know it. And then if that point he goes, oh, I know what you want, I'm just not going to do it. Your correction, your punishment, like you said, the prong collar can be the activator. So I would say, and this is a question, like when you correct him with the prong, I'm assuming it probably amps him up, doesn't really, do much. Is that correct?
That's correct. It has helped me handle him a lot better. Like I said, mm-hmm. When he dragged me, I had a pet store brand, big pet store brand prong collar, and that did nothing. He was literally dragging me across the street. So with the Herm Springer, I do have a much better handle of him when he does lunch or when he does lose his mind. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it gives you better handling where you can hang on and control him, but it doesn't necessarily stop his unwanted behavior.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Okay. So the timing of that is important, as you know, and it sounds like you're doing this right, but I'll just go through it anyway. So the moment that he sees the other dog, this is what I typically do, is I'll say, leave it, I'll correct, and I'll do an inside turn at the same time to disengage. I'll walk out, I'll put the dog into it. And I'll just say this, there's a couple different ways to go about this. And again, it comes back down to risk over reward, really. So, meaning, if your goal is to walk by another dog without a reaction, that could be a realistic goal for you. However, the risk because the size and the power of the dog might not be worth it. So, I've learned this. My dog Burley now, and if you've watched my stuff, you've seen him and know about him. He has made me more relatable to my clients than ever before, because he's a big, intact, reactive, strong ass dog. And I've done everything right. You know what I mean? Like I've done all the things. It's just his genetics, which is why I got him. Anyway, my point is this: is I want to give you a couple examples because it's very similar to what you're dealing with. And so when I'm out with him, I have three different options when I'm with him, depending on the time I have, the mood I'm in, the other dog, the environment that I'm in, how much room I have to work. And so my objective, even this morning, for an example, I was out for a walk. He saw another dog that he knows. His job is to just go, holy shit, there's a person. I need to go check it out, or a dog, whatever. It's this whole thing. Like he just wants to just go see it. That's his MO. ID, give me your ID, please. Okay, you're good. Like, so we saw a dog this morning. Boom, same thing. Hackles, chest, ears. Stimulated, locked in. I said, leave it. And then I did focus immediately after. Leave it, focus, boom. He looked at me. I paid him with food. Off we went. Done. Okay. Yeah. There's kind of this Swiss Army knife that you have to have with a reactive dog. So the overall goal is to get the dog to a point where they don't react. But if you have a dog that is reacting out of instinct, genetics, drives, past experiences, etc. So we're not just taking a dog who's being a jerk, right? Like there's some dogs who are like, screw you, I'm going to do what I want. There's other dogs, my dog, your dog, who are like, I need to do this. Like, I don't care if I die. I need to protect you from this mini golden doodle, right? It's like, that's what they actually think, right? Same thing with your dad, your father-in-law. It's like, there's nothing that you can do to be like, dude, relax. Like, okay. Like, it's you can tell it's real, right? So for me, if I said leave it and then focus and he didn't disengage, I have two more options that will work almost 100% of the time. One of them 100% of the time. I can either turn around and go home, which is what I suggest to all my dog walkers, my mom, my in-laws, our nanny, whoever is watching and walking the dogs. I tell them, if you see a dog, go the other way because it's not worth it. I don't care about my training. I don't care how good he can be with me because you're not me. Go home. Not worth it. Go home. Do it again. Try it again, right? The other option is to do what you're doing, which is sit down, stay. Working on dismantling, basically taking his legs from him. Because if I can take my legs from my dog, now he's just a big giant seal laying down, right? He's big, he's powerful, but he doesn't have his leverage. So those are like the three most realistic thing that anybody can do with when they're with their dog is you can work on, hey man, quit the shit, disengage, look at me instead. And the reality is, the reason why I got into your behaviorist is because there's the reality of, because it's unrealistic sometimes for a dog to go, oh, okay, you got food, that's cool. Because the what you're relying on is you're relying on motivation and you're relying on like the economics of dogs, right? So the currency of dogs. So what ends up happening is he goes, oh, you have food? Great. I want that instead. But then there's some dogs, sounds like your dog and my dog, where they go, dude, get your food out of here. I don't give a shit. Like I'm right. So then you go, okay, now what? My whole economics is gone. I can't pay you to do this. No, I don't care about it. So then that's where you rely on, okay, avoidance. Let's go home. It's not the most, I mean, sometimes it is. You, like, let's say you get like a young kid out with a harness and a flexi and a dog and you're like, yep, I'm going the other way. And their dog's dragging them down. But then there's the, so you have a couple different options. You mentioned the e-collar. Have you used the remote collar for any of this build?
No.
And what e-collar do you have?
Ooh, I don't know which Dogtra it is.
The Dogtra?
It is a Dogtra.
What color is it?
It works for two e-collars. So I got one that's for both my dogs, and I don't I don't even remember. It's been so long since I've used it. It's I don't even remember what color it is.
That's okay. So the reason why I'm asking is because the e-collar, specifically for reactivity, is pretty revolutionary, profound in many ways for situations like this. So for an example, you have a big, strong, powerful, explosive dog, as do I. So let's say I'm out with him and he pulls. Prong collar is going to go, it's going to give you more leverage than, it's better than a harness, it's better than a flat collar, but once they extend the leash and try to pull you down, like all the injuries that sound like you had from that, something like that,
right?
You're screwed, right?
Yeah.
So the remote collar, because it has a spectrum of, let's say, punitive measure, starting off at nothing to a little bit of something, and then going all the way up to, holy shit, what the hell is this? I hate this. That's the other advantage that you have here, is using the remote collar to dismantle, deactivate, correct, and stop the build and potentially the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an option for you. And there's a couple different ways to do that. And if you've taken my e-collar course, it's all in there.
Yeah.
And so there's the disruption of using the pager. If you have a Dogtra e-collar that has a HPP, which is a high performance pager, that comes in a lot in the 280C models and in some of the larger models. And that is a very intense vibration. So it's super helpful. I just posted a video on this on my Instagram a couple of days ago. Same thing.
Okay.
This woman had this giant like Malinois pit bull mix, huge dog, super reactive, and she couldn't control the dog. Like once he decided to go, it was dangerous. And she's like, I haven't been able to ever walk past another dog without a reaction or without me freaking out. We used the vibration on the Dogtra e-collar, and she was in group class, which she was blown away by. So the e-collar kind of replaces leave it, which is quit the shit, disengage, stop locking, stop loading. The prong collar with the e-collar just replaces that. And it's a different function. It's different utility. It's different sensation. It's a different feeling. It's a whole different package. But the goal is to disrupt what the dog is doing so they can make better decisions. Sometimes, and in some cases, the goal is just to say, don't try to eat this dog. Because there are dogs who are like, I don't care what food you have. I don't care what toys you have. I don't care how much I love you and you love me. I'm going to kill this dog. So sometimes it is just complete suppression where we're like, don't do it. And they go, oh, I want to. And you pass and they're like, oh, okay, good. It's like you made a good decision, right? It's like maybe an addict, like I want to, but I'm not. Okay, well, good. That's all that really matters here. Like you didn't do it, right? I don't think that that's your dog from what you've said. I don't think he's a killer. I think he's more fearful. considering like the growling and the, I don't like this, like the way that he's acting towards your dad, he's using all the avoidance he can to be like, don't get near me.
I do think it is fear-based. I think a lot of his issues are confidence and fear-based.
Mm-hmm. So I would start going down the route of shutting it down really early with your e-collar with a punitive correction. So you can start with the pager depending on what e-collar you have. You just look up, find your e-collar, look on the back, look at the model, go on ChatGPT or Google, type in, does the Dogtra X have the HPP? And you'll be able to feel, like, put it in your hand, and if it's intense, you'll be like, okay, this could work. Use it. If it's not intense, then use your stimulation. And so if you've had my e-collar course, you know that the whole process of using the remote collar is, I think for you, is huge. It has so much utility because you have a dog that's fearful. You have a dog that can react. You have a dog that can be suspicious, so on and so forth. And so what you would do is you would use like the remote collars. Like I use it every day with my dogs. This morning, Lakota, my Dutchie, she's the best dog ever. She goes out because I live in a cul-de-sac. She goes out and she pees in the cul-de-sac. Burly, in the morning, I put my e-collar on him. I open the garage door. I tell him to stay because I got to check to make sure there's no other dogs walking my cul-de-sac. I have my e-collar on and I let him out to go pee. And then I'm kind of like putzing around the garage for a couple minutes, getting my treat pouch and my poop bags and my leashes together. But I have the e-collar on him. And so it's like, I'm just giving an example of literally I did this a couple hours before I talked to you. It's part of my everyday thing that last night, perfect example, my dog is e-collar trained. So my point is once your dog is e-collar trained, dad comes in the house, dad comes into the home in New Jersey, whatever, and you go, holy crap, go to your place, whew, down, boom. And because you've done e-collar training, the dog knows that they listen to you with the e-collar becomes the invisible leash. So a lot of people will say, my dog only listens on leash. That means two things. Your dog only understands behaviors on leash because that's what you've taught them, which is common, or your dog only listens when they know that they can get in trouble for not listening, which is also common, right? Very common.
Perfect
example, my dog's Burly is e-collar trained. Last night I was in my backyard watering some plants. Skunk goes burling across my yard and he went whoop and I said, Burly down. He didn't have his e-collar on, mind you. And I said, Burly down. He went into a down. Didn't have to correct him. Didn't have to punish him. I just told him to down and he dropped. Thank God. It would have sucked for him, but it was sucked more for us for the next 2 weeks. So my point is I was like, damn, that felt really good. Like just knowing that your dog will listen to you because they know that they've been corrected. Because that leash kind of becomes this kind of like this blank, this secure. It's a real security, but becomes this false security. A lot of people let their dogs off leash. I mean, I post about it all the time. They let their dogs off leash thinking their dog's going to listen because their dog listens on leash. But that's the difference between playing basketball in your backyard with your buddies versus going to play versus LeBron. I'm like, you actually don't know what you're doing. You're going to get smoked, right? So the e-collar for you could be a game changer when you're deactivating the build. Instead of correcting him with the collar, you would... And your e-collar might have a boost feature. If it has a B on it, it does. And so what you would do is you would say, leave it. And if he didn't, so you would go leave it on your conditioning level on a 5, let's say. Then what you would do is after that, you would correct with the boost if he didn't leave it. And then you would give him something to do. Because here's the problem. Here's the secret. The dog is still right there. So the thing that they are... So think about it from the context of the dog. They see a dog. They go, holy shit, there's a dog. What do we do? They get up. They perk up. Hackles go up. You say, leave it. He goes, holy shit, that sucked. What did I do? Now you have to give the dog something to do.
Right.
Sit, down, heel, inside turn, outside turn, focus. So part of the equation is correcting the dog for making a bad decision or starting to.
Right.
But if you don't have, here's what I want you to do alternatively right after, you're going to fail. It's like trying to make a recipe without eggs that calls for eggs. It's like, oh, this didn't come out right. It's like, yeah, because you missed a crucial part.
Right.
So I would do that. I would do the leave it with the remote collar, put it to a punitive level, which depends on the dog. I would say 20 is pretty punitive for most dogs, but it goes up to 127, so you have a lot more. But start working on deactivating the build with the remote collar. And also, make sure that your skill sets that you're going to ask him to do, like the alternative of what I want you to do instead of look at this dog, are really refined.
So, I mean, oddly enough, he is pretty good. I mean, same thing with you. So in our house in Pennsylvania, we don't have a fence. So if I let him out, I kind of look to make sure there's no critters or whatever around the house. But late at night one time, he had to use the restroom. So I took him out. I guess I didn't see. He caught wind of something and almost started to give chase. And I yelled at him to leave it. And he stopped and came back. So I feel like he does have some pretty decent understanding of his commands. It's just making sure, I think that I catch him before he really starts to, lose his mind. I did pull up the e-collar that I have. Mm-hmm. It's the Dogtra, 1902S. It says it's a high output dog remote training e-collar. It might be an older version.
No, it's so that's a two dog system. Let me just look it up really quick. 1900.
Yeah, 1902.
I have one right here. Hold on. Let me. So this one says it doesn't. Oh, it says extreme performance pager. Yes, it says it does. So you could use the pager as a deactivator, especially for bigger dogs. They're much more sensitive to it. So you can say, leave it. He goes, holy shit, what was that? You do an inside turn. Focus. Yes, good focus. You know, so it's super simple, really.
Okay.
The goal here is, I mean, this is the equation, right? You're going to say, leave it. He goes, nope, there's a dog. I'm not listening. You page him. He goes, holy crap, what was that? I didn't know what that was. You do an inside turn. He goes, whoa, what was that? The dog's kind of out of picture, out of mind. And then you say, hey, look at me. And he looks up at you. Yes. And he gets his favorite food. Mm-hmm. And then you go, So then he'll go, oh. So the whole sequence is the essence of dog training, especially for behavior, temperament, and a well-behaved dog, is I want to be clear on what I want you to do and what's okay and what's appropriate. And I also want to be very clear on what is not appropriate and what I don't want you to do. So the dog goes, oh, right. If I do this, I get all this good stuff and attention and love and affection and food and treats and balls and toys. But then as soon as I start to freak out and try to act like I'm going to kill something, it sucks. You go, yeah, choose your poison, buddy. You know, it's like, that's kind of how it goes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, last two questions. My husband had, the behaviorist had recommended a gentle leader when we were seeing her. Mm-hmm. And so my husband recommended maybe we should use it. I don't think it's a good idea because he thinks that we can control his head and have him like turn away if he sees another dog. I just feel like the gentle leader, it doesn't matter because if he sees it, like if I don't catch his attention before he sees another dog, he's going to lose his mind. So, and I don't know if the gentle leader is going to.
Yeah. The gentle leader. So, you know, think about it. How gentle is your dog being with you?
Exactly.
That's the way I always put it. Like, is your dog being gentle? No. Then gentle leader is probably not going to be you got to meet them where they're at. You got to meet them where they're at. You got to meet them where they're at. Right. It's like, you want to tow a million-pound boat, and you're like, oh, how about this small little thing? It's like, no, it's probably not going to work, right? That's not the right equipment. So Jenna leaders are good for, you know, dogs who are super easy with direction, right? Hey, come over here. Jenna leaders don't really give the dog an option to turn off the pressure sometimes too, because it's like constantly on. It's on their nose. They hate it. They fight it. People ask me all the time why I don't use them. They don't see them in my videos. Because I only have a couple days with dogs at the absolute most, unfortunately.
Right.
It's just kind of how my business is set up. And that's how I've always trained. It's like, I should be able to get done exactly what you want done in my 3-day transformation program. And that's what I've done for a long time. But my point is this, is I don't want to spend half our time together telling the dog they can't take this thing off their head. Cause that's what they normally do. Is they're like scratching at it. And it just, so I just use a normal collar. There's no reason to use a Jenna leader over a prong collar. Like there's, like if you put them on paper, the prong collar always has more benefits.
Right.
So anyway.
Last question before we have to end our call. I have looked at your transformational program and I have, do you think it'll be beneficial to us to do that? Only because my concern is, like I said, if I take Graham anywhere else outside of his property, he's like the most well-behaved dog. He might not ever react if I would take him to your facility or do any sort of any further training. Do you think it would be beneficial for me to consider something like that or just keep working, doing what I'm doing? What are your thoughts?
The 3-day program at my house at my facility is definitely beneficial if you want to work on handling, you want to work on the e-collar introduction. We'll throw 10 dogs at them, all the things. So if you feel like if we amped up the dogs and really put some pressure on him, he'll react, then that would be perfect. It's good for anybody. Like even if you just got a new puppy and you're like, I want to develop, I want to build a better relationship. Great. That's a good program. It's basically like me as an expert, you giving me your dog and yourself and saying, hey, I want to get better. It doesn't matter if your dog is reactive, aggressive, has a bite history, they have a puppy. Like my 3-day transformation program is exactly that. We've been doing it now for 5 years, and every single week we get people in, we change their life with their dog. The dogs come in super reactive, they end in group class. Just how it goes. So regardless, that happens, like it happens in seminars too. Dogs will come in and they will not react. But we can still work on the reasons why your dog is reacting, because there's a good chance you're doing all the things.
Okay.
And also we'll work on, okay, if your dog's not going to react, let's just go over how we can dismantle it anyway. And we can work on that.
Right. Because I know a huge part of it is how I handle him and how I, how I'm a better, dog owner, you know? So, and I feel like, you know, maybe it might help me as well. So,
yep.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Helpful. Appreciate you. Good luck with everything.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.